May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We have some work to do today. I know it is the Sabbath. I know it is the Lord's Day, but we have some work to do together. We will rejoice in a few minutes as Kyle and Erica bring their daughter Evangeline Grace to be baptized here in our midst. But for that very reason, because we're going to be rejoicing, we also have some work to do. Every time a person comes to be baptized, those of us who have been baptized commit ourselves to the hard and challenging work of discipleship. And we do that by renewing our baptismal vows, our promises to live out our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, shaping our thoughts, our words, and our actions so that they embody and indeed create more and more of the beloved community, that realm of God that Jesus proclaimed. Some of you know that I just returned from a week away at a conference with 30 other priests. It was a vocational planning conference sponsored by the Church Pension Fund, where I was asked to look at goals, professional and personal, and then to make a plan on how to achieve them. The pension fund wants their priests to be healthy and to stay that way. It was a wonderful time away, but there was hard work to do. We listened to many presentations, responded to them, met with small groups, and then mapped out a life plan for the future, which you committed to in writing, and which will get mailed to us a year from now, so we can see how we're doing. But in the materials that were sent beforehand, we were promised some comforts amidst all that work. We could make an appointment for a massage if we wanted. The conference center was located on a beautiful lake in western North Carolina, and we were told there were kayaks and canoes that we could take out on the lake during our breaks, even go for a swim if we wanted to dare the cold water. Alas, we were misinformed. There had been a mistake about the massages. No massage therapist at the conference. New regulations had just been in place at the conference center, and because we had no registered lifeguard with us, no sunset canoe ride, and no swimming. Well, when we renew our baptismal vows, we're reminding ourselves of the life plan that we have committed to. They're short-term goals. They have to do with how we're going to relate to each other at coffee hour, and they're long-term goals as well. In fact, they last for eternity. And here's the deal. I can't offer you a massage today. I can't offer you a ride in a canoe or even a refreshing swim. But that does not mean that we are without resources today. Because we have a story. It's this morning's story from Luke's gospel. And while it is only one story from one gospel, it can, like every story from Scripture, in a sense embody the whole of the gospel for us. It's the story of a woman who seems to have an absolute clear understanding of her vocation and of her purpose, of her goal, at least in this moment, and maybe even long term. And that goal is she wants to be someone who can bring her full self to Jesus Christ in love and adoration. Like many other persons who encountered Jesus that we hear about, especially the women, there's very little we know about her. We don't even know her name. At least in Luke's account. We don't know her history, her backstory. All that Luke tells us is that she was a woman in the city and that she was a sinner. Now, all too many have jumped to the conclusion that this woman must have been a prostitute. But there is nothing in the scriptural account that suggests that. All we are told is that she was a sinner. You don't need to know much about me at all to know one thing that is certainly true. I am a sinner. I have made mistakes. I have been selfish. I have wronged others and held on to resentment when others have wronged me. And I do not need to know much about you to know this truth. You, in your own unique experience, have also done the same. We do not know this woman, but of course we do, for she is just like us. And we know something else, something the story reveals. She must have been a person of remarkable inner strength and bearing, for what she does is audacious in that time and place. She walks into the home of a Pharisee uninvited, unannounced. She places herself in a situation where all the cultural values she would have learned would have been shouting with one voice saying, "You do not belong here." But neither doubt or any other voices will prevent her from fulfilling her vocation. And having learned that Jesus was eating in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. And what else does she do? She massages his feet with kisses. And did you notice? She did bring precious ointment for anointing, but the anointing begins with tears. She is moved. Are they tears of sorrow or tears of joy? We do not know. And you know how that is, don't you? We're in the midst of some joyful event at church, and then we notice a friend beside us close to tears, and we realize that the particular joys of some in the body may mean sadness or unfulfilled hopes for that friend. And then on another Sunday, we spy someone across the church close to tears, and we think, what could possibly be wrong? And then we discover in a conversation at coffee hour that some kind of deep and unexpected joy has overwhelmed them, and they have been drawn closer to God. As I said, we don't know this woman, but we do. Whatever the source of her tears, they are intimate, and as is the very act in which she engages, which suggests to me something else that we might know about her. That perhaps this is not her first encounter with Jesus. Might it be possible that she has already met in an earlier encounter this rabbi out on the street in the city? Might it be that she has already experienced his expansive embrace, his forgiveness of sins, and that her gestures here are actually in response to what she has already received? Maybe there already was an anointing, one in which Jesus bestowed upon this woman the grace that is bestowed upon us all, that her soul, however wounded it may have been, was massaged by the divine love that we call God's grace. So that when he announces that her sins are forgiven in that room, he's proclaiming a truth that has already happened. And so the woman knows who she is, someone worthy to come before Christ with her love and adoration, regardless of what others might think. And in coming to Jesus, she brings all of her tears, and she brings her treasure, her precious ointment. And her witness becomes the occasion for Jesus Christ to proclaim good news. Indeed, in her offering for herself, she becomes good news. As Paul reminds us, we love because God first loved us. We will renew our promises to serve God in a few moments, but only after we have confessed what we believe. That through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gracious spirit of forgiving love is being poured out in this world. And so when we take up anew our baptismal vows, we can recognize that there's hard work before us, but we can do it with joy and with confidence because we've been anointed, anointed with the water and spirit, massaged with the oil of grace. And so it is. that Kyle and Erica, whom we love dearly, will bring their child to the font today. We know that for them, there have been tears. And we know that for them, there is treasure. And they know that as well. For today, they bring a child they have named Evangeline Grace. And there in her name is our story. By grace, we are saved and made whole. And you know where the name Evangeline comes from. Evangelion, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So there is a massage today. There is an anointing today. Anointing with water, with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And like a woman's fervent and faithful kiss, there is the grace that is always wooing us, wakening us, and calling us forth to bring our whole selves, our tears, our treasure, the full measure of our devotion. Amen.